Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. We'll be joined by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight is Friday night. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for making this a part of your evening and every week. Today is the second day of December 2022. My goodness sakes, where does time go? I mean, seriously, we're already rocketing towards 2023. I've got a great show lined up for you. Lori Ann's going to join me here in just a second. I am going to play a longer clip tonight than I normally would, and it's a really great report, and it's some news that we all need to hear. Actually, it kind of rehashes a lot of what we've been talking about lately here on the Alaska Patriot Network, as well as on Lori Ann's show, The Lucid Libertarian. Just this pervasive takeover by, you know, the elite and the politicians and big tech, and most of all, the censorship and stuff that's not happening just here in the United States, but worldwide. And when you have this level of censorship, you begin to wonder, you know, what don't they want us to hear? What don't they want us to talk about? So, you know, it's going to be a great show. We're going to have some great information. I'm going to bring Lori Ann on here in just a second. It's going to be some heavy information tonight. So I think we need to kick off the show a little lighthearted because it is Friday night. So while we're getting settled into our respective seats here in the studio, I'm going to play for you Laid Back by Rain Johnson. It's a great song. He's an independent artist, and we'll be right back with you after this song.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down. It's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving, but make me feel like screaming. But baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry. But girl, I ain't even getting mad, 'cause I've been getting laid back. Baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism. Pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees it, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. that you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. Cause I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know and all you need to know, babe. Been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back, keep getting lucky, getting laid back.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian Flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Hey there! Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine, just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world, or your money back.
It's your turn! Time to get the vaccine!
You want to.
Sorry, you have to!
No!
Do it!
No!
You have no choice!
No!
Now! Now! Or else!
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problem,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
And we are back. Welcome to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. We're bringing Lorianne in. Welcome, Lorianne.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday, my dear. How are you doing?
Yeah, it is Friday. It is Friday night. I am doing good. I hope you're doing well, too.
I am doing rather well. Sounds like, are you keeping warm? You got the fire stoked? You're all thawed out up there in Alaska?
Yeah, I am literally not even exaggerating, like 4 feet from the wood stove right now. It's like 18 degrees, so it's not that bad. It could be worse.
Yeah,
at least
yeah,
the
you're
wind,
still in the positive.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's just beautiful. It's going to be cold and clear for the next couple days. And I haven't checked the aurora forecast. That's something else we do here in Alaska on clear nights is we check that aurora borealis forecast. And it's pretty accurate, and it's pretty cool to see the aurora. It's just it's amazing. It's so beautiful, and it can keep you up. you know, just
I can imagine
watching
so.
It.
I mean, it's a rare treat down where I am if the aurora comes down this far south. It's a rare treat when it does, and then of course, usually when it does, it's like cloudy and can't see it anyway. Because that's like
yeah.
In Oregon. You know, something major happens
yeah.
And it's like, you know, oh, full total lunar eclipse. Like what just happened, the last lunar eclipse, the blood moon lunar eclipse. And it was actually clear and I had hope. And then, of course, the fog rolled in as it got colder. And so...
Yeah.
At the time, so by the time it was actually peaking, and I could, you know, I was able to only get it, see it when it looked like there was like a little bite taken out of the edge of it, and then after that, the fog got so thick that I couldn't see it, and then I was like, "Thank you, Oregon, for giving me false hope," you know. Like, if it had happened an hour
yeah,
sooner, you know,
yeah,
it would have been different.
Exactly. I was fortunate enough to catch that, but, you know, all right, so if you are in Southeast or, you know, in Central Alaska, we do have some cool, cold weather. It's clear, and the aurora activity will be moderate. It's actually a KP4, which is pretty good viewing. So in Southeast Alaska, you know, you'll see it in the horizon if you look north, so... That's always fun. It's that time of year, so I thought I'd mention it. We don't want to miss out on that. Yeah, we've got a great show, and I there's a lot going on, and we had ran into a clip that I wanted to play tonight, and it's put out by the Epoch Times, and it's a clip from Facts Matter. And they put out some great exposés and stories and things you don't hear, you won't hear in mainstream media. And this journalist had actually, you know, traveled through these, well, he's been on the, you know, traveled worldwide and it has had the experience of being in these totalitarian societies and trying to report from there, and he's gained some really good insight to what the people are dealing with, and this clip actually comes with a strong message, and it's something that we've been, you know, kind of catapulting towards, and Lorianne, you and I have been talking about this type of stuff for a long time. That, you know, we're looking at what's going on with in social media and the mainstream media and elections and here in the United States, and we're keeping our eye on these politicians, but what we're experiencing is a worldwide objective by the elites to have control over everything.
It is it is so much in your face. I mean, if you look, you know, if you're depending on CNN or MSNBC or something to show you how the so-called conspiracy theory of the globalists that are truly running things, not just here in the United States but across the globe, if you to rely on those media sources, you'll never, ever see it. You have to look beyond it. And once you start looking beyond it, you can really see all of the pieces. You can't deny it. You see all the pieces being put in place like chess. And with the clip that we're going to play, you know, we've talked a lot about China's role in this, and or the Chinese government, that is. And it's just a part of it. And so this clip is going to talk about some of that. But, you know, I just have to say right now that I am really, really loving and appreciating the news coming out of China with the protests going on against more and more COVID lockdowns. And the people are finally rising up. They finally had their moment where, you know, the boiling point has been tipped. And, you know, this clip will talk about some of that. And, you know, so I have to give kudos for the Chinese people to be rising up against their government, their tyrannical government as they are. And I want to encourage them, don't back down. You know, some of them are starting to quiet down because, you know, a lot of the cities and areas are starting to let up on some of the restrictions. But just because they let up a little bit does not mean it's time to stop the fight. You know, you reached your boiling point, and don't let that simmer down too soon, because that same energy needs to be maintained longer and for protesting not just the COVID lockdowns, but all of the tyranny that they have been subject to. And I think it's very uplifting for me to see the Chinese people finally start to take their power back.
Yes. And, you know, though, I'm going to say this, and it's not to be cruel, but China, if you look at what the people in China are suffering, and this, what they're doing is too little too late. Almost. We'll see how it plays out for them. But they have allowed, through submission and a social credit system and whatnot, to be controlled like this. And it almost happened to us here in the United States. It did for a little while, and we pushed back. You know, we just said, no, we're not doing this anymore. And the lockdowns in China have nothing to do with COVID. It has to do with control. And it's a model of society that we are all facing if we do not continue to say no. His illegitimacy, Joe Biden is pushing this. That's their agenda. Joe's not pushing it. Joe couldn't even push a shopping cart. But the puppeteers are doing this. And as Americans, as sovereign human beings, it stops here. It stops now. We do not want to be like China. It's not that I don't have sympathy for the people of China and what they're enduring and whatnot, but complacency and ignoring Captain Obvious has gotten them into all kinds of problems. And we have a lot of things that they don't have. We may have our Second Amendment rights, okay? But, you know, with 1.5 billion people, they don't need guns. You know, all they have to do is say, no, we will not comply, and shut the system down just through sedition and noncompliance. You don't have to be violent.
Very true.
You don't have
to. Guns would definitely help.
Yes, they would.
Guns would definitely help make it easier.
Exactly. No, it would, Lorianne. But I'm just saying they don't have that. But they have 1.5 billion people. And that's a hell of a lot of people. And when all those people just stop flying, just stop going to work, stop doing what the government says, and stop it all, it comes to a screeching halt, and Shipe can't have his agenda. The you know, the wheel stops turning. And it's 1.5 billion people against him. And it is, you know, I hope for the best outcome. And you know that there will be, you know, horrific things that will happen to these people because of their noncompliance or because of, you know, their protest. But no, you know, but like I said, I think the best thing they could do is just say no. Shut themselves in their homes. That's what you want? Fine. The whole country shuts down. Nobody goes to work. Nobody goes to the factories. Nobody goes and, you know, does anything. And then go from there. Or start organizing their own government. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that they're dealing with. And think of what these people are going through, and look at our administration's response to it. This illegitimate response, illegitimate administration's response to it. There's no response to it. Where's the outrage? There's no outrage. You know, Biden's not going to do anything, and we shouldn't be. It's not our job to
police
the
world,
but we do need to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Biden doesn't even want to acknowledge that this is going on in China. You know, it's just like, oh, we'll ignore it. You know, city after city after city in, you know, one of the countries with the highest population on the freaking planet is protesting their government, and Biden is completely silent. Like, you know, on the one hand, on the campaign trail, it's all, yay, democracy, democracy, yay, yay, yay. And then the Chinese people are protesting against their communist tyrannical government. And Biden, where's the cheers for democracy now? You know, chirp, chirp, chirp.
Yeah, there's none. So I think we should go ahead and play this clip, and then we can discuss it afterwards. And if you would like to join in the discussion, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9722, and then press lucky number 1. And then also we have our chat open. So if you go to Blog Talk Radio and go on to the Alaska Patriot Network and click that link, and you can join us in chat, and we would love to have you visit the show. So I am, let's see, I'm going to have to refresh my studio board here real quick. Okay. All right, I'm looking for it. All right, here it is. So we're going to begin this clip, and everybody stay tuned and listen in on this because it's a great piece. Okay, Lorianne, I'm going to go ahead and go. 3, 2, 1, here we go.
You know, watching the massive protests spring up across the entire world right now, well, it reminds me of a little quote I read a while ago. Here's how it went. You can vote your way into communism, but eventually your grandkids will have to shoot their way out. And indeed, I personally learned the deeper truth behind that quote exactly 3 years ago today while I was doing on-the-ground reporting in Hong Kong. Back then, my team and I were running around the city every single day and every single night following the freedom protests which were springing up across the whole island fighting back against the encroachment of the Chinese Communist Party. And it was during my time covering all those protests in Hong Kong that my love for the freedoms that we take for granted here in America was once again reignited. I realized that the sacrifices that were made throughout history, as well as the lives that were lost by the American patriots to ensure that we are not like Hong Kong, to ensure that we have the right to free speech, that we have the right to the press, that we have the right to peaceably assemble, as well as the right to voice our dissent. And especially, my appreciation for the Second Amendment was reinforced 100-fold, because over there in Hong Kong, I met so many people during the protests who wished to their very core that they had a Second Amendment just like us. Take a listen.
The Second Amendment protects a God-given universal human right. Since this is a universal right, it means that people everywhere, it is a God-given right, so we should all have it.
And indeed, it's not hard to understand why. The protests in Hong Kong were taking place just 40 miles south of communist-controlled mainland China. And without the right to keep and bear arms, there was quite literally no way that the Hong Kongers could win. The communists, quite literally, had all the guns. Now, of course, the Hong Kong people could win in the court of global public opinion, which I believe they did. They earned the admiration of people across the entire world. But ultimately, and quite sadly, they lost. The national security law was put into place in the year 2020 amidst COVID, with the official line being that it was necessary for public safety and public order. And ever since then, voicing your dissent in the city of Hong Kong is no longer allowed. Almost all of the independent news outlets have been shut down. Singing patriotic songs or anti-government slogans will actually now land you in jail. And all of the thousands of different creative placards, stickers, and signs that we saw throughout the whole city, well, they disappeared overnight, being replaced with simple white sheets of paper that protesters now hold up. A sign, if there ever was a more fitting sign, of the desperation of their struggle. They found themselves in a situation where the best thing that they could do was to hold up a white sheet of blank paper in quiet dissent. Again, this was exactly the moment that I understood on a very deep level the meaning of that quote. You might be able to vote your way into communism, but eventually your grandchildren will have to shoot their way out. And so it was amidst this backdrop of my experience of being firsthand in Hong Kong 3 years ago that I was shocked to begin to see the images coming out of mainland China today, where massive, just giant anti-lockdown protests are springing up across the entire communist nation, and the chance of people who are wishing to take down the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, are met with roaring applause. And as you're watching this footage, really consider what's at stake for these people. This is not America, where everyone and their dog can protest anything they want all day long. This isn't even Hong Kong, which at least had a veneer of freedom in the past. This is communist-controlled mainland China. This is the China that's ruled by a party that's implemented a social credit system that denies bus tickets and entry into supermarkets to those who are deemed socially undesirable. This is the Communist Party that set up the largest surveillance network on the entire globe with 5 cameras on every street corner unabashedly monitoring the movement of every single person in the country. This is the Communist Party that openly has concentration camps in the Northwest for millions of Uyghurs. This is the party that has jailed doctors who dare to blow the whistle on COVID. And this is the party that has allowed hospitals to quite literally make billions of dollars ripping the organs out of living Falun Dafa practitioners who were in jail for their beliefs. Protesting against this regime is no simple matter. And so the gravity of the situation cannot be overstated, nor can the courage of the people who are actually protesting themselves. Now, in terms of how this all came to be, the Communist Party of China has been, for the last several months now, implementing their zero COVID policy. Essentially, using draconian methods that the elites in the West could only dream of, the Communist Party has been, quite literally, attempting to have zero COVID cases throughout the whole nation. And if you think that's impossible unless you quite literally lock down people in their own homes, well, you're right. And that's exactly what they did. You can see footage come out of many cities across China showing the police, dressed in those white hospital gowns, barricading people within their apartments, locking the doors, sometimes even going so far as to welding the doors shut, and then just walking around bringing people food every once in a while. If you've ever wanted to know what living in a communist prison feels like, well, you're looking at it. And if someone were to still test positive for COVID, even in this type of situation, the Communist Party would send in drones to spray the area down so that the undesirables don't spread the virus to others. However, if you happen to be a firefighter, a fire marshal, or anyone with any common sense and you're watching this episode, then you might be asking the very obvious logical question, what happens if there's a fire? Because here in the West, we have signs in every building telling people to not block the stairwell in case of fire so that people can escape. But what if, instead of blocking a stairwell, you quite literally barricade the entire building? Well, what happened is exactly what you'd imagine. On the night of November 24th, which is exactly 1 week ago today, a fire broke out in a neighborhood within the city of Urumqi, which is located in Xinjiang. The official estimate is that the fire killed 10 people and injured about 9 others. However, those are the official numbers from the Communist Party, and the estimates of how many people actually died range well above 40. And the reason why so many people died in this fire is exactly what we've been discussing. The local authorities, they locked people in the building, they hindered firefighting operations, and therefore it resulted in people quite literally burning to death because their apartments were welded shut. That's the negative. The positive of the situation is that the Xinjiang fire ignited the anger of the Chinese people across the whole country. After the fire, not only did people begin to gather outside, both in Xinjiang as well as other cities, to mourn the dead, but the mourning soon turned into protests. Protests not only against China's zero COVID policy, but also it became a protest against the communist regime as a whole. You can see footage coming out of Shanghai, Beijing, as well as other major minor cities across all of China of people bravely coming out onto the streets and shouting anti-government and anti-party slogans, which then naturally enough led to a slew of arrests by the communist police. And so then the protesters in China got creative. They borrowed the method from the Hong Kongers and they began to hold up simple white sheets of paper to express their silent protest against the regime. And it's this protest, which has now spread throughout all of China, that's become known as the White Paper Revolution. This is quite literally the largest collective struggle against the Chinese Communist Party within China since the student protest broke out back in 1989, which of course culminated sadly in the Tiananmen Square massacre on June 4th. And to be frank with you, having followed what's been happening in China for the past decade or so, well, these types of large-scale demonstrations in major cities across the country was almost unimaginable, not only because of the threat of death from the communist regime, but also since the education system within China indoctrinates people to love the party like they love their parents. And so generally, no matter how bad the party actually is, people tend to, especially young people, they tend to not complain because they've been taught since kindergarten to conflate the concepts of the party with the country. Most people grow up to think that they're quite literally the same thing, that the Communist Party of China is the Chinese nation. And so to watch these protests happening right before our very eyes is unprecedented to say the least. But there's much more to this story. When you dig deeper into it, there's actually a dark secret inside of China that is more explosive than any global virus could ever be. And that secret is ready to explode and potentially blow up the entire Communist Party. And I'll tell you about it right after I show you this beautiful coin. This right here is an American Walking Liberty 1 ounce gold coin. And typically, I order at least one of these from our sponsor, American Hartford Gold, every single month. The reason I do so is because, I mean, as you likely know, the inflation rate in this country is the highest that it's been in, what, the last 40 years now? Everything like the price of food, the price of housing, the price of gas is absolutely going through the roof. And in fact, market experts like the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, he's not only predicting a recession, but he's even using words like unprecedented economic hurricane. And so listen, I absolutely do not give you any financial advice, but I would recommend that you do what I do, which is pick up the phone and call American Hartford Gold. Their super friendly staff can help you diversify your portfolio by either getting physical gold and physical silver delivered directly to your doorstep like I do, or deposited directly into your IRA and your 401k account. They make the entire process super simple. And actually, besides me, they have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau with quite literally thousands of satisfied clients around the country. And best of all, to our viewers, to the viewers of Facts Matter, they are currently throwing in $2,500 worth of free silver on your first qualifying order. So giving them a call is an absolute no-brainer. So pick up the phone and call 866-242-2352. That's 866-242-2352. Or text Roman to 65532. Their link will also be down in the description box below, and then let's head on back to the studio. Because you see, as unprecedented as it is to watch these protests emerge across the entire nation, something even more shocking happened just yesterday. Amidst these protests, including the ones that were happening in Shanghai, a man by the name of Jiang Zemin was announced to have suddenly died. Now you might remember, if you happen to be old enough, that Jiang Zemin was the president of China at the same time that Bill Clinton was the president of America during the period of the 1990s. And he was, by almost all metrics, a brutal dictator. That's because not only did he come into power by backing the crackdown at Tiananmen Square, but then also during the late 90s, in order to cement his power and to fill the highest ranks of the Communist Party with his own followers, he single-handedly initiated the persecution of the Falun Gong spiritual practice within China, which at that time had about 100 million people, Chinese people, practicing it, or roughly 13% of the population. And that persecution, it led to the systematic jailing, dehumanizing, rape, torture, forced labor, as well as death for many people. The estimates range from somewhere on the low end of about 5,000 people having died, yeah right, to upwards of several million people. Furthermore, it was Jiang Zemin, through his faction that he installed within the upper echelons of the Chinese Communist Party, that initiated the industrial-scale forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience. You see, even though the mainstream media, both in our country and across the entire world, has remained almost completely silent on this issue over the past 20 years now, more and more evidence has continued to mount showing that the Chinese Communist Party's transplant system, their organ transplant system, is completely unethical, and honestly, you can really say that it's evil. What happened was that starting in 1999, when Jiang Zemin was still in power, the number of organ transplants in China, it just took off. China went from having 150 transplant centers in 1999 to having over 714 of them today. They are now second only to the U.S. But what's beyond belief is where these organs are actually coming from. Because you see, China seems to, quite literally, have an overabundance of organs. They've had hospitals online advertise on their websites that they could guarantee patients organs within a time frame of several weeks, that they could even schedule the organ transplant in advance, which, if you just think about it logically, doesn't make any sense, because an organ donor is, at least in theory, someone who happens to die randomly, and they happen to be an organ donor, and they happen to be a match to the person looking for an organ. And so to be able to schedule an organ transplantation operation weeks in advance is already extremely suspect. And to put what's happening into perspective, here in the U.S., the waiting time for a kidney is over 5 years, but in China, over the past decade now, you could get it within a month. And for the hospitals within China, it's been an extremely profitable business, as their websites show that they're charging $30,000 for a cornea, $60,000 for a kidney, and upwards of $150,000 for a human heart. Imagine what one person is worth to them, quite literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now, you might think that it just makes sense because China is such a large country, they have over 1.4 billion people, and so they must naturally have a lot of organ donors. But this is where it gets scary. Culturally, most Chinese people just don't believe in organ donation. They believe that they should be buried with their organs intact. And so the organ donations in China have been almost negligible for the past 20 years. In fact, the Beijing Red Cross stated in the year 2011 that over the past 20 years, only 37 people nationwide registered to become organ donors. Think about that, 37 people in all of China. And yet the wait time for an organ has been measured in weeks. Compare that to the U.S., which has 156 million registered organ donors, and yet it takes 5 years to wait for a kidney. So where are these organs really coming from? In the year 2010, China's Vice Minister of Health, he had to admit, because there was too much pressure mounting, that over 90% of the organs came from executed prisoners. But that also doesn't make any sense, because with transplants, there are so many factors that go into play, including blood type, tissue matching, as well as disease screening. And so doctors usually cite a ratio of 10 to 1. It takes 10 people to find a suitable donor for just one person. According to independent researchers, on the low end of the scale, China conducts somewhere close to 60,000 transplants per year. And so if you do the math, they would have to be executing somewhere on the order of 600,000 prisoners a year to make that demand, which is totally unreasonable. Estimates range that China executes somewhere between 2,000 to 8,000 prisoners a year, which, by the way, is already more than all other countries combined, but it's still a far cry from the 600,000 that they would have to kill in order to meet the demand. So where are these organs really coming from? Well, as I alluded to earlier, independent researchers have concluded that starting with the time of Jiang Zemin being in power, China has been harvesting organs from prisoners of conscience, including Falun Gong practitioners, Tibetans, the Uyghurs in the Xinjiang area, as well as house Christians. Specifically, the Falun Gong practitioners, they are believed to be the main sources of these organs. These are people who are not criminals in any traditional sense of the word. They are quite literally just thought criminals within a communist dictatorship, and due to their spiritual beliefs, they have been systematically persecuted. They have been thrown into jails, into prisons, into labor camps, into brainwashing centers, where many of them have been tortured in an effort to force them to renounce their beliefs. However, amidst all this torture, many of the Falun Gong practitioners who wound up escaping to the West, they reported, while being in prison, also being subjected to things like blood tests, urine tests, physical exams, and ultrasound evaluations of their organs, very likely in order to form a large data bank that the hospitals in China can pull from in order to get organs on demand. In fact, if you look at the timeline of the onset of China's boom in transplantation and the onset of the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, it almost runs in complete parallel, with both of them having started in the year 1999 under the reign of Jiang Zemin. Plus, there was a great undercover investigation that was conducted a few years ago where you had investigators here in the West. They were calling up different prisons as well as different hospitals, pretending to be people who are looking for organs and asking them specifically whether those places had any of the healthy Falun Gong organs. Take a listen.
Hello, hello.
哎，宋主任吧。啊，您说吧。哎，我，然后他那个医生跟他讲，就是说这个肾源挺好的，就是说那个，他练功，人家练什么功？练法轮功，练法轮功身体都比较好嘛，练功就想。你要给他这么一个。我们也有这种所谓的叫，不是有呼吸或者有心跳的一些供给，我们会有，我们也会有。这个我们可能大概有。
今年到目前为止，可能这样的有十几个这样的肾脏。你这个东西呢，你怎么确定它是法轮功学员？这一点你了解过吗？怎么确定法轮功学员？到时候我们这边投上面有人给你会给你出现资料，知道吗？哦。他会出资料给你，这没放心。
哦，那好。那你。
因为我现在给你发，人家有资料，我个人简历什么资料都有。
哦，那好。那还有一个问题。
我跟你说吧。
And so, the reason that this is also relevant today is because this persecution and the trade in human organs on an industrial scale by the ruling party of China has become exposed more and more internationally, to the point wherein the Communist Party can no longer just hide it anymore. Therefore, here's where things, you can say, get interesting. Because amidst these giant protests that China is currently experiencing, well, Jiang Zemin died. And so here's the big question. Will the current head of the Communist Party, Xi Jinping, will he move to pin all the blame on for these crimes against humanity on Jiang Zemin in order to try to wash his own hands of them? He can move to say that it was all Jiang Zemin and his cronies who were planted in the top echelons of the Communist Party. They're the ones who were responsible, and that's that. But if Xi Jinping does that, essentially, he'll have to admit to both the Chinese public as well as the entire world that these crimes were indeed happening behind the scenes, which in the current environment of protests, well, they might just push the Chinese public over the edge, which would then naturally enough lead to more brutal crackdowns by the regime. There's already videos of them bringing in tanks into cities. But a brutal crackdown would have them lose ever more public confidence as well as almost all of their global credibility. Their economy would shrivel, economic investment would dry up, and the party might fall anyway. However, on the flip side, if Xi Jinping doesn't pin all the blame on Jiang Zemin now that he's dead, well, then Xi Jinping himself might have to eventually answer for the crimes against humanity that the party has been committing for the past 20 years now. It's an extremely precarious situation right now, with the Communist Party really teetering on their edge, being between a rock and a hard place. And so what all this means is that within China, major seismic changes will be happening over the next year, the same type of seismic changes that saw the Soviet system collapse seemingly overnight. And whether or not the Chinese Communist Party actually collapses, well, it has extremely real-world implications right here in America to you and me. Because while here in the U.S., most of the public dialogue, most of the public discourse right now is centered around arguing over minutia, such as whether or not men can legally enter women's bathrooms. But while we're busy discussing that, the Chinese Communist Party has put into place and has been executing a 100-year plan to destroy America. Again, this is something that the legacy media outlets in this country have completely ignored, but here at the Epoch Times, we've been exposing it nonstop over the past 20 years. In fact, we just published a full-length documentary called The Final War, detailing exactly what this 100-year-long plan is, as well as what can be done to counter it. Here's a trailer for that documentary.
The greatest threat facing the United States is the CCP.
The Epoch Times investigation team had studied the CCP for years, but what we uncovered was yielding evidence beyond our imagination.
With Chairman Mao, with the Prime Minister,
Our talks have been characterized by frankness.
The Clinton administration said, oh, don't worry about it. This will be a poison pill for China.
China's strategic goal is to make sure that the U.S. has four enemies, and one of them must be a terrorist group.
We are giving of our life's blood so that the Chinese Communist Party can survive and thrive.
If you'd like to watch that awesome documentary in its entirety, you can do so over on Epic TV, our great no-censorship video platform. The link to it will be right there at the very top of the description box. I hope you check it out. And then lastly, I would like to ask for your opinion. What do you think is happening inside of China, and what do you think the implications are for us here in America? Of course, the waiting time for an iPhone has increased to several weeks now. That's I guess, a minor thing. But what do you think will happen if the Chinese regime, in fact, cracks down on the protesters? Will we no longer do business with China? And what impact will that have here at home? I'd love to know your thoughts. Please leave them in the comments section below. I'll be reading them later today, as well as tomorrow and over the weekend. And then furthermore, as you're making your way down there to the description box for that documentary link, as well as the comment section, take a brief detour to smash that like button so this video can be shared out to ever more people. And also consider subscribing to this YouTube channel as well, that we can get this type of honest news content delivered directly into your YouTube feed every time we publish it. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from the Epic Times. Stay informed. Most importantly, stay free.
Okay, this is Alaska Patriot Network, and I'm Dahl. I'm your host, and we're here with Lorianne still. That was a great piece by the Epic Times. It really kind of brings things into perspective of what we're up against as a society. Like at the end of the clip where he's pointing out, Roman's pointing out, you know, the simple fact that China has been trying to destroy us for the last 100 years. And with this illegitimate administration and the timing of it and the placement of it, and considering, you know, Clinton was a close associate of Xi's predecessor, it's the agenda's playing out here, just not on such a wide scale. Like I said, the scamdemic and the lockdowns and the jab and the masks and the closing down of the small businesses, the shuttering our churches, our houses of worship, that is the communist playbook right there. And it was brought up, you know, Russia, when I was younger and the Cold War was going on, the Russia was a big, huge boogeyman. I mean, now Russia is the big boogeyman again, you know, supposedly. I mean, we're not going to go there today, although I'd love to. Seemingly overnight, poof, it was different. And that was, what, 1980s, 1988, 89-ish, you know. Ronald Reagan was president. Gorbachev was running Russia. And Russia was a totalitarian society. I mean, full-on communism. And they weren't always like that. It wasn't always like that for that. And people that were living in that time remembered when it wasn't like that. And they weren't great fans of it. And that's why it didn't last very long. Lorianne, what was your thoughts on that clip?
I think that last part was pretty eye-opening. Especially with the prosecution, you can just see how that is a significant population of people to subject to concentration camps and then organ harvesting. And that's, you know, that's pretty concerning. I mean, that is, you know, organs for sale. And so I didn't really, like, I knew what was going on in China, you know, pools of information here and there. Did a good job of putting it together of, you know, how prevalent it really looks like it is targeting specific populations that are known to be, you know, anti-Chinese communist government and religious followers that are a minority, and using that minority for this kind of, you know, to target for organ donations, you know, and they're not doing so willingly. And because the Chinese Communist government is so secretive with their information and so tightly closed with their information, it's really hard to find out what the real numbers are. And, you know, we have, do we really have any doubt that if the Chinese government is willing to take a minority population, kill them, torture them, put them in concentration camps, set them aside as resources for harvesting their organs, if that government is willing to do that, then why is it so hard to believe that that same government would develop a deadly virus that gets let out into the populace and around the globe? I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that that government would do it. And maybe the first people test with this, you know, bioengineered virus, maybe those same people that are having their organs trafficked and harvested, maybe those same people were the targets for the initial testing of the virus to see how deadly it is and things like that. You know, and who knows what other kind of medical testing. And then another thing about the clip that I'm wondering is, when he mentions about the drones coming along and spraying the air in areas where there's a, you know, reported case or cases of COVID, what exactly are they spraying? I wish he would have gotten into that. Like, what the hell are these drones spraying all over these cities to try to sanitize them from COVID? I really want to know that.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, is it a hallucinogenic to make them more susceptible to, you know, compliance? Is it a bioagent? I mean, the list can go on. I mean, we could just come up with all these, you know, hypothetical scenarios, you know, but like I was saying, you know, before we played the clip, there are 1.5 billion people there. That's a lot of people, Lorianne. That's a lot of people. And just to put it in perspective, you know, I would say probably government officials are probably, well, everybody there works for the government because CCP, but like I was saying earlier, you know, if they just all collectively said no more, no, we'll not comply. And the blank paper protest, you know, the white paper protest, that's a great way, and that's what made me think of, you know, I was trying to think of, you know, what would I do in that situation, you know. I don't have my Second Amendment. I don't have my First Amendment. They don't have the liberties that we do. But something that did come to mind listening to this, and there's some parallels, is that they've stood up before, and in a very small way in Tiananmen Square, and it ended poorly. It didn't end up well. People died. And that was that. They just backed off. But that was a isolated incident in Tiananmen Square. And so it worked really well for the communist government there. That visual, that reminder, remember what happened in Tiananmen Square? Don't do that again. Don't stand up for your rights. Don't speak, you know, don't speak your mind. You know, I think, and it kind of a parallel here. I'm kind of going out on a limb, but something like that's happened recently here in United States history. And that was January 6th. People went to the Capitol and peacefully protested. No, I'm not saying that there weren't asses in the group, and that I would say 99% of the sedition that happened was an inside job by Pelosi and her crew and cronies and the FBI and the swamp. But what's happened since that event are people are afraid to go and show up and protest. And because we've seen what happened to those people that went to the Capitol that day. They're imprisoned. They're political prisoners today. And some of them are being, you know, detained still just for trespassing. Trespassing on their own property as taxpayers. The doors got open, they went in. So that I used Tiananmen Square and January 6th as it held the Chinese back from protesting for a while. And the fear of persecution by our own government holds other people back. And it's not just people that went to, you know, the Capitol that day, but we're seeing fear of persecution in social media, in our jobs, our relationship with financial institutions, if you are doing business or maybe not even doing business. It's happening here, and they will, I say they, the bad guys, the nefarious people that are trying to suppress us will stop at nothing. And I'm curious now that China is, there's not just one hot spot of protesting, but it's happening all over. Like I said, it might be too little too late, Lorianne.
I would like to think that it's never too late, really. But I like your point in regards to January 6th in the parallel. Because it is. I mean, why do you think that they had such a sham of these congressional hearings where it's all about persecution and they deliberately suppressed anyone that did not comply with the narrative of that committee? It was such a sham, and it's paraded about. They held it forever. It was all, you know, and of course, the mainstream media was, you know, airing it all over the place. Talk about intimidation. You know, what kind of message does with his fraudulency in this administration? And squashing any kind of mass protests for election integrity. I mean, because, you know, our elections and our vote, like, you know, we hold that as near and dear to us as our firearms, you know, it's our right of free, our voting is an expression of free speech. And so suppress that, and that's going to go to the very core. And so it's a big mind screwing that's going on to convince people that, you know, if we the people rise up against the government, then this is what's going to happen to you. You are going to have all of your rights removed because you'll be deemed a domestic terrorist and you'll fall under that category. And so therefore, you're not going to have a right to a speedy trial. You're not going to have the same rights to due process that you should. You will be incarcerated for extended period of times without a lawyer. you know, you will have a whole congressional committee going on for days and days and days, and your family is going to be scrutinized, you know, and that's a big thing too, is, you know, well, it's that guilt by association type of mentality that is, has the door being open. And so I agree with you. I think that it, January 6th is being used in the same way, and it kind of imprint in the minds of everybody that you cannot defy your government. And if you do, you're going to pay the price. And your family's going to pay the price too.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a, we've talked about this before in the past about the, well, initially they started putting them up under the guise of COVID overflow, patient care places and whatnot. But, you know, here in the United States, they are building places for confinement of people. And they claim it is for future health crisis emergencies that, you know, that like the one that they created with the scamdemic. And it, these facilities, I believe, are going to be used to, quote unquote, quarantine or shelter people that do not have the same ideology. They have a disease of the mind because they don't think the group think. And until they can think the group think, then they need to be treated. I know it sounds crazy. They're doing it in New York City, Lorianne. And I knew that this would come, and it's coming, and I'm going to send you a link right now. To, oh, wait, I think I sent you a link. If not, I'm going to send you another link to this article. This is out of the Wall Street Journal, and I covered this earlier on another show this week. So Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, is responding to this crisis that they're having in New York City with people being pushed in the subway and being attacked and stuff. Some of this stuff may be happening at you know, at the hands of somebody suffering a mental health crisis. But, Lorianne, we know that with the defunding of the police, the breakdown of the social justice system, and the left's refusal to treat criminals like criminals, that people just are doing what they want to do. We're seeing packs of kids going, or well, not just packs of kids, but pack, you know, whole, you know, mobs of people going in and just, you know, hitting malls and stores and crash and dash and walking out like it's nothing, and nobody's apprehended or anything. Well, so that kind of stuff's going on in New York City, but Mayor Adams is gone one step further, and this is from the Wall Street Journal. New York City will begin hospitalizing homeless people who are severely mentally ill in an effort to move individuals off the street to get the care they need. Mayor Eric Adams said the effort was designed to address what he called a, quote, mental health crisis among the city's homeless population. The move comes amid concerns about safety and disorder in the city. City agencies such as the fire, police, and the health department, and contractors, that's just undefined, contractors, will evaluate and provide care to homeless people on the streets and subways who are deemed to be in psychiatric crisis. A new team is also being deployed to the subways to respond specifically to individuals with severe mental health issues. If severe mental illness is causing someone to be unsheltered and a danger to themselves, we have a moral obligation to help them get the treatment and care they need, said Mayor Adams in a statement. Mr. Adams, a former police officer, campaigned on being tough on crime as mayor. The Democrat has emphasized his commitment to public safety. The transit system has become a particular point of focus with increased police presence. The New York City subway system in 2021 recorded its highest number of assaults and murders in years, according to the police statistics. Overall, major felonies in New York City have been on the rise this year. The city recorded 114,996 incidences through November 27th, compared to 90,000 over the same period in 2021. Last year, a total of 102,000 major felonies were reported, down from 162 in 2001. Oh, that must be it. Yeah. Okay. So in 10 years, you know, it went down. So the these people, they've been worried about all this stuff. They put more, you know, police presence in the subways. But riders have been, people aren't spending money on public transportation because they're worried about the crime after several high-profile shootings and other incidences, some involving people who were homeless or having mental issues, but not the majority. A woman in January was killed by a homeless man who was declared mentally unfit to stand trial. So it kind of goes on to all these statistics and stuff, but I am going to go down here where it's really important, because what they're essentially doing, Lorianne, is they are going out and clearing these homeless camps and, you know, places where the homeless are predominant, and taking these people in under the guise of, you know, curing mental illness. And says here, the city in partnership with New York State will immediately begin training clinicians, outreach workers, and first responders to ensure compassionate care that could potentially include involuntary removals. And, you know, Adams goes on to say, you know, if you've got a person that's got no shoes on and they're talking to themselves that they're in a mental health crisis, well, that could be Dave Kelman for all we know. I mean, you know, barefoot actor.
That could be anybody.
Seriously. And I say that just as proof, as the proof negative show, because I did talk to about this situation on his show Tuesday night, and I gave him as an example. I said, so you're standing on the corner, you're a barefoot actor, so you're barefoot, and you're talking, and just because you're addressing, who says you're talking to yourself and not addressing the public? So if you and I went down and to New York and we're standing on the corner going, don't take the jab, so you know it's got mRNA and graphene oxide in it and little things that look like octopus and stuff, we're going away. Go away. And we're going to go to it. They're going to take you to a place and they're going to tell you that whatever you're saying is not real, and this is what you need to think. In essence, Lorianne, they are scooping these people up who are not conforming to society, re-educating them till they're deemed fit for society. Right here in America, right in the state of New York.
Don't even bother with that.
Right there in New York.
Just lock them up in an insane asylum, you know. Why go through the effort of trying to re-educate them? You know, just send them to an insane asylum, keep them drugged up until the day they die, and, oh, hey, maybe we should be like China and harvest their organs, you know, kidneys and livers and stuff.
No, seriously, though, Lorianne, that's kind of where I was going with that. That these people
like
are
mine.
Being, yeah, but no, but who are these clinicians? Who are these unnamed contractors? Who are these people? And who are they to say, you know, and I'm not saying that there are people out there that are unsheltered and they do need Medicaid. You know, they need help. They need compassion. They need a lot of stuff. But, you know, this is still a free country, and they are still free human beings to make choices for themselves. And as long as they're not a danger or a threat to others, there should be no legal standing for this. And it becomes a really gray, murky line because conspiracies, oh, well, that's a mental illness. Well, you call them conspiracies. We call them spoiler alerts. You know, this is,
it's
a dangerous,
and then if you're homeless on the street, you know, if you're homeless on the street, then, gee, what made you homeless to begin with? You know, and it's kind of stands
maybe
for
not,
reason
maybe
that
losing
you're
your
probably going to be mentally affected by it, you know. Did you refuse to get jabbed and then you lost your job
and
then you couldn't make your mortgage payment
your
or your rent?
Exactly.
You know, like, and gee, maybe you're a little bit depressed and pissed off and angry about that, you know? And then, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Right there, there's your justification. And so, you know, you can find, like, there are so many, you know, relying on, like, psychologists as, like, some sort of god that, you know, is like the crazy whisperer. And, you know, they do get it wrong. How often do they get it wrong? A lot. Mental health professionals, quote unquote professionals, get it wrong an awful lot of time. Like there is a huge statistic, like something like, I think it's like 60% of people diagnosed with dementia type of mental illnesses are actually just deaf. They just couldn't fucking hear. They needed hearing aids. They're not mentally ill. They're not dementia. You know, they just can't hear. And yet these psychologists, you know, and mental health professionals diagnose them with dementia. And medical professionals even. Instead of just doing a damn hearing test and realizing they're just not able to hear what people are saying around them. It's not that they're forgetful, you know, they literally just didn't hear what somebody said to them, you know, like, you know, it's an overwhelmingly high statistic. And I'm just saying, like, and so we're going to trust that, the people that are homeless on the streets are going to be adequately taken care of and assessed for their mental health. And then what, you know, ship them off to where?
Well,
hospitals?
I
thought hospitals were already overrun. I thought they were already understaffed, you know,
but,
so to take
Lori,
on that obligation.
Do you recall the big, huge internment camp that Mayor Adams built for the, they were afraid that DeSantis was going to fly in some illegal immigrants into New York. Remember the internment camp that they made there, the refugee camp?
Oh, yeah. They can't let that go to waste.
And it's never been occupied.
That we know of.
It's never been occupied. And I believe that is, and then also they had built filled hospitals for COVID over, they'd used COVID funding for that type of stuff. So this has been in the making there for a while, and it's definitely something we need to watch. The type of stuff that China is doing is trickling down into here, and I'm not saying that they're going to harvest these people's organs, but I wouldn't put it past this evil elite, you know, underworld that seems to be running everything. In fact, there was another clip I had ran across, and it's and we had talked about this a few shows back, Lori, and in jest, kind of, and just off the cuff, that soon there will be a market for not only organs, but blood of people that have not been jabbed. And lo and behold, here it is. Let's listen to this clip. It's nothing, folks, like the last one that we listened to. That one was exceptionally long. It was an exception to the rule considering, you know, what's going on in the world. I was thinking, anybody that tuned in live during the Chinese part where they were
yeah,
doing the undercover call.
Yeah, the video, you can see the interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of cringing in it. I wanted to pause it, but I was like, you know what, we're just going to roll with it. And folks, if you do want to see a translation of that part of the clip or revisit that clip for reference, it is posted on the Alaska Patriot Network Facebook page. So if you would go there and follow and like some of the content.
Ooh, remind
there,
me, and I'll also include the link. I'll update this show's link too, and I'll include the link to that video. I'll edit it after the show. So if you visit the Alaskan Patriot Network link for tonight's show, I will update it tonight, and I will include that link so that you can watch that Facts Matter
it's
from Epic Times.
It's on there already. I'm pretty sure I put that one up, but yeah. And, all right, so I did find a link on the Pure Blood, and it was really interesting because it's from Next News, and it's the pure demand for pure blood skyrockets globally as critics dismiss fears of tainted blood, and tainted meaning unjabbed. So we're going to go to this real quick, and then we'll be right back after this clip. And if you would like to call in and join the discussion or, you know, chime in on anything we've discussed or you have something on your mind, give us a shout, 515-602-9722, and press number 1. All right, we're going to go to this clip real quick.
I knew this moment would come, the demand for what some refer to as pure blood. And now within 18 nations, pure blood banks have been established. Meanwhile, critics are dismissing people's desire for safe and clean blood transfusions following the rollout of government-mandated shots and boosters worldwide. This is one report you will not see anywhere else. I'm Gary Franchi. You want the top news every day? Hit subscribe and turn on your notifications. The last several years were very difficult for everyone. At the onset of the pandemic, many of us had no idea what to do. Fear gripped the world. The fear was driven by the constant flip-flopping of government doctors like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. We were told to trust the science as thousands of scientists and doctors worldwide were silenced. We were told it would only take 15 days to flatten the curve, then 15 days turned into years. Then the super safe jab was rolled out. We were told that if we ever wanted to see our loved ones again, we'd need to take the emergency authorized experimental medicine. Mandates were rolled out. Governments and corporations demanded that you participate in the experiment if you wanted to keep your job. And sadly, many people decided that was their only option. This triggered a rift in society between those who submitted to the mandates and social pressure and those who felt that the my body, my choice was the only path forward. Well, now we're seeing another transformational rift occur in the medical community when it comes to blood transfusions. Those who stood on the side of my body, my choice are now demanding that their blood never be tainted by those who submitted to the mandates. And right on cue, their valid concerns are being dismissed by the same people who pushed the mandates. Tim Hume, one of the dismissive voices at Vice, reports that several major blood collectors, including the American Red Cross, claim that people who have taken the jab can transfuse their blood safely. And that even though the jab aims to stimulate the immune system, the components in the jab themselves are not present in the bloodstream. Despite this, Swiss naturopath George Della Petra claims people are worried about the new jab technology, which has created a demand for so-called safe blood. In response, the Swiss naturopath has founded a place where concerned individuals can locate the so-called pure blood. It's called Safe Blood Donation. And Della Petra considers the global mandate campaigns to be the crime of the century, and that the jab affects the blood and the immune system. Thus, unjabbed people desire to receive transfusions of blood supplied by other unjabbed people. He told Hume at Vice World News he gets hundreds of emails from patients due for surgery asking, "Do you have blood available?" He went on to tell Hume of his Safe Blood Donation campaign, quote, "We want to be a platform for people who want to have the free choice of blood donors, whether they think there's a real conspiracy theory going on, that the New World Order is happening, or if they simply say, I just don't want it for whatever reason." Vice World News notes that eventually Safe Blood Donation, which has members in at least 16 countries, plans to open blood banks that provide unjabbed plasma to its members. However, the group's initial goal is to pressure hospitals to permit so-called direct donations or of safe blood, whereby recipients can nominate non-jabbed donors to provide blood directly to them. Vice further notes that medical authorities only allow directed blood donations when medically necessary, such as when sourcing a rare blood type, but refuse growing requests for so-called safe blood. Hume at Vice states, as far as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is concerned, there is no evidence that transfusions of blood from people who have had the jab pose a higher risk to adverse events. Vice continues that ultimately, if safe blood donation is successful in forcing changes to the existing blood donation regime, it hopes to establish a new global infrastructure for providing pure blood. In this scenario, people would be able to source doctors from national databases, donate and receive blood through affiliated clinics, and store blood physically in blood banks for non-jab people. Members of Safe Blood Donation are writing to medical authorities to ask them to change their policies on directed blood donations. In addition, the group encourages its members to write living wills, stating that they do not wish to receive blood transfusions from the general supply, naming non-jabbed individuals as direct donors instead, and they're threatening to sue hospitals if they do not. Nonetheless, medical experts consulted by Vice World News said that those efforts were unlikely to succeed. In recent years, there has been a rise in requests for non-jab blood from concerned patients. However, such requests are being rejected. The true heroes among us are the people who have endured to the end, the unjabbed. They have had to face the greatest pressure imaginable from partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors. But they stayed strong and kept their critical thinking intact. They are courageous individuals who know exactly what they stand for and won't settle for anything less. Despite differences in age, education, background, beliefs, or social status, these special people exist everywhere in our world. They're beyond being just above average members of society. Rather, they are the kings and queens of culture building and conquering. Every army of light aspires to have soldiers with such qualities. Every child yearns for parents like this, and each parent aims to build such moral values in their children. Clearly, anybody can see why people like them should be commended with the highest regards. You are the victors who did not succumb to hatred and discrimination. You were the bold ones who had the courage to take on a path many would never attempt. Even when you had no money and your career suffered, you continued down this risky road. You chose to ignore all those who threw insults your way as your wisdom prevailed. Now stand proud, knowing you accomplished what many said you could not do, proving that they were wrong while you stood tall and secure in the knowledge that you defied convention, accomplished something huge, and succeeded where others submitted. It was despite discrimination, betrayal, and humiliation that you emerged with pure blood. No one has ever seen a casting of such diversity in all of history. Men, women, young, old, rich, and poor, free and slave. Everyone was welcome to try. Despite obstacles that rendered even the toughest Marine commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and geniuses unable to pass the test, you have won. Make your voice heard. You have won against all odds. Let's continue the conversation in the comments below for the Next News Network. I'm Gary Franchi. Let's continue the conversation now about investing in silver today. Is it a good idea? Well, my friend.
All right. And we are back. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. So that was Gary Franchi with Next News and a demand for pure blood skyrockets. Lorianne, my first thought on that was, well, we had discussed this, that there would be one day a... Yeah, we've brought this up when they say we've got a guy in Sweden and he's got this blood bank and whatnot. My first thought was the last thing I would do is put myself on that registry. I do not need the One World Order or any other DNA mining technology to have any information about me any more than, you know, they probably already do. And and when they were doing the mass PCR testing, I said this 3 years ago, I said, they're doing that to mine your DNA, to have a comprehensive list of every human being's DNA. Why would they want that? Okay. And people were like, oh, doll, you're crazy, man. That's just like insane. And what happened? We found out that the United States government was sending these PCR tests to be read by a big company in China, and they were mining our DNA data. And when it comes down to it, and these swamp creature elite, you know, monsters, and they're people, but they are monster. They have monstrous behaviors. They'll come one day looking for a piece of you or me. And whether that is a missing link in their DNA that they need to mine an organ, which is already happening in China, and or your blood for, you know, to sustain them in a biological or a nephrous way. We have Think for Yourself is holding here in the queue, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him in to join the discussion before we get ahead of ourselves here. Welcome, Think for Yourself.
Hey, welcome, Think.
Okay.
Are you there?
He was there. We'll go ahead.
I'm sorry. Can you hear
me? There you are.
Okay.
Yep,
sorry.
We can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Libertarian. Hi, Lorianne. So my friend and I were talking about this very issue the other day because I'm okay in terms of money. I make pretty good money, but my friend is on social service, and we were talking about ways to make money, and this person told me that they were thinking about giving blood to this company called CSL Plasma. And what they were offering was 800, at the time it was like $1,000 for, I think, three sessions, each session being 2 hours long, 2 to 3 hours long. And what they do is they take plasma from you. But that's a lot of money. It's $1,000 for like 6 hours, for 10 hours is quite a lot of money. And they were really doing it. So I actually drove them there. And oh my God, the line of people at this one location. There's like six locations in my area. And the location I was at was loaded with people. They must have had like 20 beds. And out of the 20 beds, I'm pretty sure like 15 of them were full because the staff was not, they didn't have enough staff for all the beds, but it was loaded. And they're stocking up on a lot of blood. I kind of agree with you on like DNA collecting, but at the same time, they're stocking up on a lot of blood, a lot of blood. Have you ever heard of this location?
Yeah, and I had also read a while back that at least for a while, because the COVID shot, is still experimental and wasn't fully approved, that plasma donation centers actually could not take plasma from those that got the jab. The blood you could donate, but the plasma is like different. And I don't know if that's changed, but for a while though, that part of the high cost was because if you needed plasma, then they literally could not accept your plasma if you had gotten a COVID shot. And like I said, I don't know if that's still the case, but that's perfectly legitimate, and that increases the value of that blood. And most plasma donation centers are pretty much anonymous for the most part. You don't know, you know, whose plasma you're getting and all that. You know, I've donated plasma in the past. This was several years ago for extra money, like you said, because there's a demand for it, and it was a way to make some extra money to put some food on the table for me. And so, yeah, and it's a really legit concern. And so now we have, you know, we have a double-edged sword going on with now we have this, you know, there's this demand for pure blood, blood donations and plasma donations, which I think along with that, if there's already a demand for blood donations, then you know there's a demand for organ donations and stuff too. So I can see that this type of thing would be really easily ripe for a gathering of information to find out exactly who has not gotten the COVID shot, and getting that data from facilities like this to get a database together so they know exactly who to target, because we're going to be the next guinea pigs. We're only, you know, here in the United States, we're only 20% of the population, those of us like me, that have never gotten jabbed. And so there is going to be a demand to study us, not just to get our blood for blood donations or plasma for plasma donations, but for organ harvesting and any kind of medical experiments where they really need to test against, does this work for somebody that's been jabbed as well as somebody that's been unjabbed? They need to have a control group, and us 20% is a really good control group to target if they know exactly who we are.
That's right. You know, I when the whole COVID thing came out, and I was following the whole COVID thing, watching China, like watching all these videos on this website called World Star Hip Hop, and I was watching all these videos about China people falling down and dropping while they're in line, and I thought it was weird, so I did a lot of research on what that was. This was before it was announced here in the United States, and at the time they still called it the coronavirus. And I was watching the WHO, the World Health Organization. There was doctors on there saying what this thing was. And there was a doctor on there that said the best thing to do to get rid of this was to take zinc. And zinc goes into the plasma, and then the plasma stops the replication of the coronavirus. It's that simple. And I was going on, and then when it was announced here in the United States as coronavirus was a really bad thing, I was going on radio shows and telling people, oh, it's the United States is planning something really serious. Like they're going to do lockdowns and everything. And I was on a radio show, multiple radio shows, Donnie's radio show, actually. I'm pretty sure you know Donnie. I was on his radio show saying
on Donnie's show.
Yeah, I was on his show saying, get ready, they're going to do something serious. And then people, Bianchi, that idiot, comes on there and makes fun of me because he thinks I'm a child or something and says that it's not that serious. You shouldn't take it so seriously. You're overreacting, all this stuff. About 1 month later, guess what happens? The mask comes out. And I go up back on his radio show and I say, you know, this is not serious. This is. They're planning something, and I'm pretty sure it's leading up to some sort of mass something. At the time, I didn't know that it was the shots. I was still studying up on what I was researching my best to figure out what is coming. And I was going on the show again saying that it's not that serious. Almost everybody on Donnie's show was doing the narrative. Like Donnie's wife was at Walmart or somebody, someplace buying toilet paper on air. And he kept telling her, you should buy it. They believed it. They believed the narrative. And I was on the show trying to tell them, don't believe this narrative. It's not real. This whole thing is inflated. 1 month later, this is when people started going into the hospitals and filming empty hospitals. And they were outside the hospitals filming empty outside hospitals where on the news they were reporting long lines of people. It was mass confusion in the hospital because too many people. And I went on Donnie's show. I was telling him, there's nobody in the hospitals. You guys know that. Have you seen these reports yet? And Donnie didn't know about that yet either. And eventually I just stopped going on the show. And then I heard Donnie say one day, you know what, guys, I don't think this is real. I think this is made up. And I knew, okay, finally, it's catching on. This whole thing is catching on, that this is some sort of, I don't want to say scam, but some sort of, like you said, pandemic. They're leading up to something. And I think it led up to the shot. That's exactly what, I mean, come on, why are these shots being pushed so hard on us? The shots definitely don't work. That's why they keep pushing out a new variant of the shot, another shot, and a booster shot. I've never heard of something like a booster shot. You have to take two shots, and then the next month you can take another two shots, and then a few.
Yeah, you make a good point. Like, the only booster shots I ever heard of was, like, getting a booster after, like, 5 years or something. You know, like, even, like, with my dog, you know, the rabies shot, here in Oregon, by law, I'm supposed to get my dog a rabies booster shot after 3 years. And it's like, well, you know, she's at pretty low risk, but okay, whatever, I got to comply with that law or whatever. But at least that's every 3 years, you know. But now with this COVID shot, we're talking, you know, the scientific evidence is out. It does not have, they do not create long-term immunity. It literally does not prompt the body to make memory T cells to remember it, because it's not able to remember the full virus. It can't remember just a tiny part of it, one spike protein. It can't remember that. So if it's not going to, and that is training the body that you give yourself the shot and the body no longer has to make memory T cells anymore. So it's evident time and time and time again. You're absolutely right. I'm 100% on board with you. And I think that this COVID vaccine was developed before the virus was actually let out. And it's because this vaccine has all the crap in it, with the graphene and the nanobots and, you know, and then the spike protein generation. I think it was all known, and I think that the Chinese fully knew it because they exploited a population of their population to be used as experimental guinea pigs long before it ever came out. And that might be conspiracy, might be crazy, but I don't think I'm too far off.
All right, well, I'm going to say this right here. You guys, both of you right now, is that the Chinese government has had a depopulation model in place for their citizens, right down to forced sterilization, forced abortion, making people, you know, just have one child at a time. Like Lorianne said, it's something that was tried on them. You know, we're sure that they tried out the jab there first before they released the scamdemic. I do not believe that there is really anything such as, I'm going to go out on a limb, I don't believe in this virus. I don't believe it exists. What we're experiencing is just natural, you know, phenomena. It's natural colds, pneumonia, crap that's been killing people for millennia, you know. But
well, that's what a coronavirus
is.
It's a cold virus. Coronavirus is a form of cold virus.
It's nothing new.
So this was a developed bioengineered
Are you going to let me finish?
Yes.
Let me finish real quick here. Is it the so-called jab vaccine, it was never meant to keep you from getting the cold or longevity of life. I believe that it is a depopulation, a form of depopulation control. And it is I believe that the boosters, they call boosters, are extra stuff that they need to build up in our systems that it will pass on maternally to the child and cause a stillbirth. That this is a depopulation model and it is being used for depopulation. It was never meant to, you know, make people better or anything like that. Okay. Now, when you think about it, a lot of people think about, there's been studies and it says there's a lot of people that are impoverished, they call us uneducated, well, they say uneducated, poor, and indignant people don't understand science, so they didn't get the jab. Well, if you're burnt before, you're suspicious of it. I know a lot of Native Americans didn't get the jab. I know a lot of African Americans didn't get the jab simply because been there, done that, saw it. I don't believe in what they call chemical medicine. So that I was like, no, I'm not buying this. I saw it like Think did, you know, right from the beginning. You and I have been doing shows together a long time. But this has nothing to do with getting people better. It's a matter of depopulating between abortion and war and this jab. They're going to do something, you know, big with this, that, you know, their climate change scheme isn't working. They thought that push climate scheme, people would quit having babies. Well, no, we're not buying that either. So with that said, you know, you've got a commodity, and commodities are healthy humans. And did you know, you guys, that blood makes up 2.5% of all U.S. exports? That it is a $3.3 billion industry? Export. We export.
And
that's
haven't we had a blood shortage?
Of our export.
Didn't we see in the news that we had a blood shortage, but yet we are exporting it makes up 2.5% of all of our exports, all of our exports. That's insane.
Yeah, and there's no substitute for human blood. And, you know, the demand's hard to meet. And it's interesting because you see a lot of these blood donation, quote-unquote, centers or places where you can sell your plasma are being set up in areas that are, they're overrepresented in high poverty areas. And they are, you know, people are going out there and selling their blood so they can buy gas because Joe Biden's made it so hard. And, it's, you know, blood donation for compensation in most countries is banned, but not in the United States. So the U.S. supplies 70% of the world's plasma.
Crazy. Yeah. Why is it that just the United States, though? Why doesn't other countries do stuff like that? Well, why is the United States so, like, a huge number in donating blood or plasma and not other countries? That's really odd. Wait, is 2% a lot, though?
It's 2.69% of all of our exports. That's our export. That's... 2.69% is actually pretty significant. It's like $3.3 billion. That's enough to keep Ukraine afloat for 2 days. I'm being sarcastic.
No doubt.
No, I'm being sarcastic. I don't want to give them a dime. But it's very interesting that's it's huge, 70%. And, you know, like I was saying, you know, a lot of the plasma centers that are paying people are set up in areas that have high poverty rates, predominantly Black neighborhoods. And it's interesting, too, because you had mentioned you're taking your friend to, what was that, CSL Plasma?
Yeah, CSL Plasma.
So there's three of the top players in the blood collection arena are CSL Plasma, Grifols, and Takeda's BioLife. I wonder where they're, like, originating. Because I know Takeda BioLife is a Japanese company. And it looks like, I'm trying to find out who owns CSL. Oh, it is an Australian company, it looks like. And then Grifols. Might be. I don't know where they're from. But yeah, it's interesting.
As healthy as Americans are over here because of the FDA regulations, keeping Americans healthy from bad products, I don't blame other countries wanting the blood of American over somebody like over in Africa and in Mexico where they don't have a healthy diet use proper safety products. So American blood would probably be the better blood of all the other countries, I would think. That's my opinion on that. But it's still kind of, so the question I have here, I was on the show one day and I told them that I'm glad that the United States is a capitalist country, but at the same time, I think capitalism is what's bringing down this country right now. So I strongly believe that the capitalism in this country, like a computer or a phone, needs to be updated. There needs to be rules and regulations that are set in place so that the capitalism doesn't overdo it. Does that make sense to you? Or do you believe that?
It absolutely does to me. You're speaking my libertarian language, which is get fucking government out of it.
Yeah.
We need third-party independent agencies that we sign up with. We need government out of it because it's corrupt. It's shown time and time again that the FDA is corrupt as hell. And it's all bought off with politicians and CEOs. They, you know, oh, you're a former politician and you advocated for our bill that, you know, made us a lot of profits, well, you know, we'll make you a board member or, you know, we'll make you a VP or, you know, this kind of bribery going on. Real capitalism, I mean, our government has thwarted the whole concept of free market capitalism because of their bailouts, because of their bribes, because of their corruption. They have corrupted every single sector. And so everybody wants to blame capitalism for the problem, and it's not. It is government-subsidized capitalism, government-subsidized banking that is all behind this, central banking, Federal Reserve, all of it. You know, everything. The free market is not allowed. You know, the big bank bailouts of Fannie Mae and all these other things, you know, during the housing crisis, the bailouts of the airlines, the bailouts of all of these big corporations throughout, you know, just let's look at the last 25 years on the taxpayer dime. And these companies were allowed to survive when they should have failed. And that's
right.
What bring about the whole too big to fail thing, because the government kept coming in and kept regulating, you know, oh, we're going to regulate it more. We're going to regulate it more. And yet there's no accountability. They don't regulate a goddamn thing. They regulate themselves. They regulate their own corruption. So actual free market capitalism hasn't been in practice here in the United States for a very long time. You know, and yes, it comes with its downfalls, but when that company defrauds and gets sued and they have to shut their doors because every single penny that they have has to go out to pay these lawsuits and they shut their doors forever, then that would take care of the problem. But no, these companies that defraud, you know, look at Pfizer. Pfizer is just one example. Time and time and time again, multi-million-dollar lawsuits. The largest lawsuit in history was by Pfizer that they had to pay out. And now with this COVID shot being emergency authorized use without any liability, they have been paid back like 3 or 4 times of any and all lawsuits they have ever paid in the past for their wrongdoing. And the same thing goes for Moderna. The same thing goes for J&J. They have been paid back in full plus interest times two, you know, on any lawsuit they've ever had to pay out. And this is what's wrong. It's not capitalism itself. It is government-sponsored, corrupt, tyrannical capitalism that has taken a hold of this country and the world. Okay, end rant.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And that's my point right there. It's the government intervention. It's the politicians that are being bribed to overlook a lot of the bad that's going on within the industries, like what you're saying with Pfizer. But the main one I was thinking about was the heroin epidemic. That was, I forgot what company it was, but they were allowed to put heroin inside these pills. And I think they end up calling those pills Oxycontin, where it's heroin inside the pill, but the pill slowly dissolves inside the stomach. So instead of getting a rush of heroin right away, you get a slow rush of it. And eventually a lot of children got hooked on it. And that basically started the whole opioid epidemic that we've been seeing throughout the past couple of years now. And the only reason how that came about was these pharmaceutical industries paid off the politicians to allow them to do that. And it's ridiculous how it – I can go back in time, and that's the same reason why the cigarette industry was never forced or never – you know, I don't know the right words right now, but the cigarette industry did the same thing. They paid off the politicians to overlook the health problems that cigarettes were causing people. And it's that bothers me. The fact that you're allowed to bribe these politicians so that you could do negative, bad things as long as you have a lot of money. You know, the guy on the show said that every one of us is corruptible. I'm not corruptible. I'm not. It's just something in my upbringing, but I just don't look at money like it's that important where if millions of people are going to die from my decision, I wouldn't allow that. I would not have that on my conscience. But thank you for having me on your show to rant again, my 2 cents.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in. It's kind of nice to have you chime in, and I don't think that we're disagreeing with you on a whole lot as far as these issues go. So this is pretty good. And, you know, my show is coming up on Sunday night. We only have a few minutes left of this live broadcast. And so Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. And though we also go into overtime quite frequently. So definitely check it out. If you're available on Sunday night, feel free to call in.
Definitely. And I will be there too. In the co-host chair.
You will? Okay, good. I didn't want to speak for you because you never know when the next like typhoon or snowstorm is coming. So,
oh, come on.
Yes,
you know
good.
I'm going to be
you're
there
good.
Unless I can't be there. Come on.
Exactly.
Now, right?
It's happened.
Yeah, it has. It has. Yeah, and tonight's show has just flown by. You know, Friday nights always fly by.
It really does. You know, this 2 hours with you, yeah, it feels like it's been maybe a half hour, and so much more that we could get into. And I appreciate Think for yourself for calling in tonight. I appreciate you, Doll, for having me on. And
yeah,
it's always a good time. But 2 hours is too short.
I know. We'll look into a longer show when my work schedule calms down a bit. We can work into that 3 hour mark again. But it's been grueling, and with the cold weather and being outside and working, it sucks the life out of you. It does. It
oh God, I'm amazed that you can even do the show. To be honest,
I am too. Actually, I'm glad we were able to do a show tonight. But you know, it's this stuff's really important to me, and there's a lot of stuff coming out, information that, you know, that has been available. I mean, you and I, we've been talking about this for a long time, but you know, I want to be there for and with people as they're, you know, being enlightened. And, you know, we're here to walk with you guys through this all. We're in this together, literally. And it's not some COVID catchphrase. But literally, look to China right now. Do not want to be coming to the game so late like they did. Oh, and we've been good here in the United States, even with the small numbers of people that have said, no, we're not going to comply with this. No, we're not going to get jabbed. No, you know, and then I hope in a couple of years we're not going to be saying, no, you can't have my blood. No, you cannot have a lobe off my liver.
Yeah, like what happens if the government declares eminent domain over our blood and our organs because we never got jabbed? Would our government possibly try to evoke eminent domain? Like, I can see it happening, though.
I wouldn't. It's for the better of all. It's a public health emergency. You know, they took soft liberties away, and people gave them up so fast and so readily. And they'll come back and ask again for your compliance. They'll ask for you to give a little piece of yourself away, and I hope it's not literally a piece of yourself. But, you know, don't let your guard down, because they're, nothing's over with right now. I mean, they're just cooking it up, their next scheme. And this illegitimate administration, Lorianne, doesn't have the convenience of waiting. You know, we had 9/11, you know, and then we had this, you know, and that. You know, there's these intervals. They're going to start packing this stuff real close together. And depending on how 2024 elections go and who's running, these clowns are going to pull something big again right before that, so that people are stuck with mail-in voting. And we need to head that off collectively. I mean, and there's no better time than now to do that.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you got like, oh man, we're toward the end of the show. Like, we could totally go on a whole other thing.
I know. Fortunately, we got Sundays right around the corner, and we can always, if you have extra time on your show, we can spill over some of these topics we didn't get to, because there was a lot to cover tonight. I know you always have
extra time. I always have extra time on my show. I always go into overtime. always. Yeah, 3-hour live show plus bonus hour usually always gets utilized. So, we are talking like the build up to World War III is what we're talking about here. And if you don't think that biologically DNA targeted weapons haven't already been experimented on and aren't already out there, not only by our own government, but Russian government, Chinese government, who knows how many other countries that are experimenting on it that we're helping to fund. The NIH was not just funding the Wuhan lab in China. American dollars goes toward all kinds of bioengineering firms all over the world, and we just aren't even aware of it, but it is a thing. So it's to think that they don't already have DNA bioengineered targeting weapon systems, you'd be like your head in the sand if you don't think that that's already a thing. It's already been tested. It's already effective. They already know it. They're just waiting for a chance to implement it, and that's going to be the next World War III, in my opinion.
Well, Biden had signed that executive order back in September, and I've talked about it. You've talked about it on your show, and it's a biotechnology, biodiversity, bio this, bio that. But essentially, in writing that executive order, he handed America over to the biodefense cartel.
Exactly. Great way of putting it.
Exactly. And some of the, some of the part of that initiative is to push us towards transhumanism and create a humanity 2.0 by changing our genetic structure. And like his fraudulently says, this is no joke. And one of the things that the initiative pushed on was to develop genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictably program biology in the same way in which we write software. What I was saying, hypothetically, if Mayor
babies.
Adams. not only
talk
that.
Talk about designer babies.
But not only that, if you were to, like I was talking about how in New York they're scooping up the mentally ill and taking them away, and and they may be just going to re-education camps. And who's to say they're not going to try this kind of stuff on our people that can't speak for themselves, that are being scooped up off this and being reprogrammed, being rewrote software programs to unlock their biological data. And another thing on here was in that bill was for building a vibrant domestic biomanufacturing ecosystem. So rewriting our food, the structure of our food, it takes GMO on a whole new level, Lorianne.
This is going to be targeted. Bill Gates is going to be like freaking planting plants that are DNA targeted,
exactly. So
a month, and make herbs that, will kill people with this DNA, but be pretty much inert to anybody else. What a way to target it and then never being able to have it tied back to, because they hold the patents. It's all secret. And so how is, the chances are pretty slim that whatever they produce that targets the person will actually be able to be legitimately tied back to them to the point of being able to prove a case in court.
Yeah. You know, and just a month after that executive order was written, the White House released the National Biodefense Strategy and Implementation Plan. And it dovetails perfectly with the executive order, except that preparation started on the first day of Biden's presidency. Well, fraudulent presidency. But this is, it sides with the biodefense enterprise. And it is a, it details in this biodefense plan transhumanism and it facilitates the technocratic takeover. It's interesting because normally in a type of documentation such as a national defense or a domestic, you know, United States domestic executive order, there was a new term and it appeared 21 times in the document. And whereas normally it would have been, it would have applied to a commercial business or corporation, it 21 times they referred to biodefense enterprise. So this science has taken
things
on a life of
make
its
you
own.
Go,
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, right into biosurveillance, which would mean, you know, having a chip, having a social credit system.
Yeah.
Biosurveillance is not to monitor your health. It's not meant, you know, it's not... They'll tell you, get the chip, and then that way if there's an accident or anything happens, we'll just scan it and have all your information and it'll save your life and call your loved ones.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they could do that
and
if
I'm
they
sure,
wanted
and
to.
I'm
yeah,
pretty sure
right.
That chip will be, like, connected, you know, like, connected to one of your nerves or something. And it sounds
exactly.
Really crazy,
but it will
but
be
like,
an RFID
how many times
chip.
Have we seen video, like, I recently saw a video of... like a public camera that is right next to a tower attached right next to it. And there's some kind of pulse that happens with the camera.
Direct energy.
So the camera literally flickers. And at that same moment across the street, this guy that later was found he had been jabbed, you know, fully jabbed, but he died. Like, he got electrocuted at the same moment.
Well,
there was no lightning or anything.
Similar.
You know, like, it's a triggering mechanism. And it sounds crazy to say it, but I really think that's what it is.
Well, it's a type of direct energy attack. And this technology was, in fact, at first, happened to some people working in the embassy in Cuba. And once the Russians, the Cold War got over with the United States and Russia, China stepped in to be Cuba's new buddy. Okay, so I believe that the Chinese have had this technology for quite a while. There were high-level diplomats that were targeted in Maryland as well. And this is many years ago before the jab, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it's some type of, you know, direct energy attack. And people say, oh, poopah and stuff. Well, it's a great way to test it out on people, great way for crowd control. And I think by now we've all heard crazier things. But one of the things about these chips that they're putting in people, that they want to put in people, is that they are RFID. That means that if somebody, a government official or part of the technocracy, wanted to find out where you've been, what have you done, everything without your consent, could be within how many feet of you it takes to read RFD, your RFD chip with their reader. So you could be hacked. You could be standing on the subway and an operative could hack you. I know it sounds just freaking insane, but that is
it's true, and it actually has happened. You know, it does happen. I mean, if something that you're using is relying on the internet in order to function, there is always going to be a way to hack into it. And, for example, obviously it has come out that Twitter and Facebook and Google have given a like an internet like free access pass into their systems, of course, to fight false information. So they've literally had like a designated portal where they have their own back door on all of these social platforms. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Google, that's huge. You know, who doesn't have any of the three above, right? That's a huge amount of data to have and have access to. Post your posting? No. They are gathering all and every data on you. And, you know, it's sickening to me how this can even be allowed. You know, nobody signed on for this. When I signed on to fucking Facebook, 14 years ago or something, you know, like, I never agreed to this. I never agreed to have all my information sold off to the government so they can, you know, have this completely, you know, archived data on me for years and years and years sent off to server farms and stuff for storage and indexing. And scrutiny, you know, I mean, I didn't sign on for that. Nobody did. And yet here we are. And our government is allowed to do it. And then there's libertarians in my own team that are like, you know, hey, well, you know, Facebook is a private company or Twitter is a private company, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I can see that argument as a libertarian, but at the same time, it's like, no, they are not a private company anymore. Not when they open up a portal so that the government can have access to anything that they want. And do you think they're just looking? You know, do you think it's just read-only access that they have? Of course not.
I've long held that Facebook, especially Facebook, is a government agency, that they're just mining your information for later on. Yeah, that type of stuff. So with that said, anytime you guys log on or log off, everybody knows that. Now, even if you're using, you know, different browsers and stuff, they still have your information. It's archived there. That, you know, each one of us have our own little dossier, I'm sure. It's frustrating. It's just frustrating. It's pervasive in our society
and
in our lives.
And we have no right access the data. We can petition our government and say, I want to know every single bit. I want a copy of any and all information you have stored on your servers about me. Social media, you know, bills, credit, arrest records, you know, whatever. Any and all information you've gathered on me. We cannot request it. We cannot get a copy of it. And that is the even biggest, most screwed up part of it, is that we can't even get the information that they have stored on us if we request it.
Yeah.
Our own info.
Maybe
we
one day we'll
it.
Get
they
our
do.
Reckoning. Maybe we'll get a reckoning one day. Well, folks, we've gone into overtime, and as much as we love you all and we'd love to stay with you on this lovely Friday night, it has come that time where we must go. And Lorianne, I want to thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I look forward to joining you on Sunday. Everybody, don't forget to tune in Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show right here at Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. And she goes sometimes into a bonus overtime, which that's just past my bedtime right now with this crazy schedule. But thank you for joining me. Thank you for everybody
that joined
the chat.
I hope that life actually slows down at least a little bit for you. I really do.
Not me.
So that
I'm
you can
happy.
Catch a breath.
It's okay. Catching a breath's overrated. I'm just glad to have the opportunity to, you know, be a part of building my own home. I'm being sarcastic. But anyway, so thank you, Lori Ann. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us in chat and calling in. And we'll be back next week with another great show. So make sure to tune in to that. And check out Lori Ann's Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. And then also you can find her on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook, the Alaska Patriot Network on Facebook, or Dahl Arnson at Twitter. So please drop your comments and like and follow everybody's pages. And I always look forward to looking at the followers' pages themselves. So you knock on my door and I'll answer. Not literally. I will have
little
a little if you knock
well,
on my
yeah,
door.
You know what you mean.
But yeah.
You know,
yeah,
hon,
so
I always love being
to
on your show with
sense.
You and to you being
Thank
on my
you.
Show on Sunday. You know, I love you. I got your back and I know you got mine, and it's a beautiful thing. So, happy
yes.
Friday night to you. And but still try to at least catch your breath once in a while. You need it. You know, that's why we have lungs.
I will.
Is because sometimes you gotta be able to sit down and just frickin' breathe. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I will. I will. Okay, well, with that said, everybody, I wanna say good night and God bless you all, and you know, keep your clip loaded and your axe sharp. This is just going sideways here in America.
I love it.
So with that said, this is the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out. God bless everybody. Good night.